As Venezuela's deposed leader Nicolas Maduro appeared in court in New York in shackles, his replacement, Delcy Rodriguez, was sworn into office in Caracas in a parliamentary session which heard demands for the release of Venezuela's ousted former leader. Meanwhile, Venezuela's opposition leader and Nobel Peace Prize winner Maria Corina Machado has been speaking about the US action which led to the capture of Nicolas Maduro. She said she hasn't spoken to Donald Trump since October of last year, but in an exclusive interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News, the Venezuelan opposition leader was effusive in her praise for President Trump and the actions of his administration in Venezuela.
Most people said it was impossible to achieve what he has just done on Saturday, January 3rd. So I believe he deserved it on October, imagine now. I think he has proven to the world what he means. I mean, January 3rd will go down in history as the day justice defeated a tyranny. It's a milestone, and it's not only huge for the Venezuelan people and our future, I think it's a huge step for humanity, for freedom and human dignity.
That was Venezuela's opposition leader Maria Machado speaking to Sean Hannity on Fox News. Attention now turns to what happens next in Venezuela. Charles Shapiro was US ambassador to Venezuela from 2002 to 2004. I spoke to him earlier where he told me that he was surprised that the United States decided to capture President Nicolas Maduro before trying other options.
I thought that the Trump administration would continue to turn up the pressure on Maduro, convince Maduro they were going to invade so that they wouldn't have to actually invade. Does that make sense? So that Maduro would turn himself in.
Why do you think it happened? Why do you think Donald Trump moved at the weekend? Was it about regime change? Was it about tackling drug trafficking? Or was it about oil?
Well, it's about all three. And I can't explain, you know, his rationale of why he did things and why he did it now. I mean, you know, all the rumors going around is that he was very frustrated with Maduro and gave the go-ahead to the U.S. military to grab Maduro and together with FBI and DEA to arrest him. But everybody now is parsing, you know, what's happened and what's gone in place. And it certainly looks that they're putting stability and oil over democracy. They're not changing regime. They just took out Maduro. But Maduro's vice president and the rest of his cabinet are staying in place.
And when you put the focus then on tapping oil reserves, does that then undermine the rationale for going in and taking and capturing the president, which was the rationale that was put out there, was one of law enforcement? But if you're speaking about tapping oil reserves afterwards, it undermines your legal basis, doesn't it?
It would appear that way, but you have to see, you know, what does public opinion in the United States say? Are they convinced by this? I mean, because what they're trying to do is use those oil reserves, get them back online, because the oil industry in Venezuela has pretty much collapsed, get them back online and use the money from that oil to pay for the investment in oil industry infrastructure, pay for the government to do the sorts of things that governments do, you know, paving roads and putting roofs on schools, all of which is needed in Venezuela, reimburse oil companies. The two big U.S. oil companies had their investments, their infrastructure in Venezuela confiscated in 2007. So pay them for the property that was confiscated. And he said on Saturday in the press conference, reimburse Venezuelans who have fled to the United States for all the property and money that they lost having to flee Venezuela. And presumably the oil companies are going to, you know, they're going to be investing their money. They're going to want return on investment on the money that they put in as well. So that's a lot of functions drawing on, you know, one amount of money.
Okay, but do you think he had a solid legal basis then to do what he did? I mean, going in to a sovereign state without the approval of Congress, without a UN mandate, and capturing the country's president, do you think there was a basis for doing what he did on Saturday?
I'm not an attorney, and attorneys are going to be arguing about this for some time to come. Mm. I'm glad to talk about the geopolitics of it. How's it going to be seen in the United States? How's it going to be seen in Ireland? How's it going to be seen in by our allies, U.S. allies, internationally?
Okay. Well, let's talk about what you think then will happen next, because the president initially spoke about running the country.
Yeah.
Is it diplomatically feasible for the U.S. to run Venezuela at arm's length without having a military presence on the ground?
I think that's going to be very difficult. Part of what he did is he keeping Maria Corina Machado, the woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize in December, he's keeping her on the sidelines and was very dismissive of her in the press conference on Saturday and said she's not respected in Venezuela. Well, there's no politician in Venezuela right now who is more respected than Maria Corina Machado. So, you know, how do you keep things together? It's going to be very, very difficult to do. Mm. And internationally, since this was unilateral action, none of our NATO allies are supporting this. And the major Latin American countries, Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, are actively opposing it. So it isolates the United States diplomatically, and I'm sure you'll see that at the United Nations. Mm.
What do you think is going to happen in Venezuela next?
Well, I was talking to some friends this morning, and they are all, as they say, a la espera. I mean, they're waiting to see what's going to happen. You know, there have been celebrations around the world. A third of the population of the country fled. They're all over Latin America, Spain, United States. Venezuelans abroad were celebrating and rejoicing that Maduro was gone. Venezuelans in Venezuela were afraid to do it because the Maduro people, without Maduro, are still in charge. The same police and the same military.
But do they have an opportunity now? I mean, should the U.S. be preparing for civil unrest in Venezuela, or even the possibility of a coup in that country, given what's happened at the weekend and the instability that has created?
Well, they're apparently counting on the current regime without Maduro to maintain stability. I'm not sure that's a good bet. I'm not sure that's a good bet at all.
And in your experience then of that country, I mean, do you think that there is the likelihood of unrest, of civil unrest, the possibility even of a military coup?
I can't speak about the military. I mean, every time somebody has, over the past 25 years, has said there's going to be a coup in Venezuela, they've been wrong. So, I don't have enough granularity to know if that's even possible. But I do know that Venezuelans are very good at organizing demonstrations and getting out on the streets. And do it very well, and they're accustomed to it in a way that Americans are not.
And the implications for the wider Latin American region then, what do you think those are?
Well, for Latin America, if the President of the United States says you're trafficking in drugs, you know, we have the right to come and grab you. There are a number of countries in Latin America where cocaine is produced and trafficked to the United States and trafficked to Europe. And Mexico, our southern neighbor, is the source of the fentanyl that enters the United States. And it's the fentanyl that is the deadly drug that's been killing thousands of Americans. So, you know, though the presidents of those countries are very concerned and have every right to be very concerned about what this means for them. I mean, essentially what this does is it divides the world into spheres of influence in a 19th century way that you studied in your history class, with the three powers being the United States, China, and Russia. So, you know, what does this mean for Ukraine? You remember Putin all along has been saying that what Russia's invasion of Ukraine was a police action. China's maintained since 1949 that Taiwan is simply a breakaway province and is an integral part of China. So in many ways, this is probably perceived as by the Kremlin and by the Chinese leadership as a green light.
That was Charles Shapiro, former US ambassador to Venezuela, speaking to us earlier.